The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. What's happening?
Not much, man. Just staring at that double chili mania machine. It's ready to go. It's ready to pay.
Anybody ever sit at that machine?
I've never seen a single person sit at that one. It's my favorite titled one out there.
I think you're the first. I have been asked to be a vice presidential candidate on an independent ticket. I just want to let you know that I'll still do the show while that's happening. Just like Aaron Rodgers will still play football.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Just want to start out the show with that. We have a packed show. JVT on the NBA coming up. And some college basketball thoughts. Will Hill, all his college basketball thoughts. Jason Weingarten, our official numbers game Royals correspondent, with his thoughts on Kate Middleton and beyond. We're looking forward to that.
I can't wait for that because I'm that person who's seen like three tweets on this story and not like clicked on anything and looked at anything.
Patty Power, Ladbrokes, not booking anything quite yet on this. They're big on, is she pregnant? Is she not? Will it be boy or girl? will they ride to the wedding in a carriage or not? Like a whole, they book a lot of this stuff. It's so far considered gauche to book anything on this.
There is always royal wedding or royal family props out there. Yep.
And Alex Kane will join us from Sport Trade. Every once in a while, we talk exchanges here on the show. Had the boys on from Profit Exchange many times. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sport Trade, will join us again. If you're not familiar with exchanges, just a little primer on what they are for those who are uninitiated. Certainly for those in New Jersey, it is a very relevant topic. So we will whet your appetite. I went flatter on you there. Whet your appetite for that a little later on. First, you know, we haven't been doing this in the first segment, and it occurred to you, I think, correctly, more than it did to me. It's like the DK Network doesn't get some of the picks in the first hour, because we're only on the first hour on DK, and then we go to Lebatard on DK while we continue on VSiN. So I wanted to give some tennis picks, also my futures baseball plays that I made. First of all, baseball, just to let you know, I made San Francisco Giants bets. I know, homeration. I get it. I made three bets on the Giants, none of which were division bets, because even I know that over a 162-game schedule, they ain't beating the Dodgers. But the bet is this. And by the way, substitute Giants, whoever your team is that you think can sneak into a postseason, because remember the incongruence of a baseball season, 162 games versus then a best of three or a best of five, depending on if you're the first or second best winning division team, you'll get the best of five. But if you're the third, you have to be subjected to a best of three. You get the idea. It's the cruelest of all sports when you think of the juxtaposition between the regular season and the playoffs. So someone's got to be wild cards in the National League. And I think the Giants, well, I just think they're smarter than everybody else. I made this right after the Matt Chapman signing. I thought Blake Snell might end up there. Probably not. Probably going to end up in pinstripes. But I got the Giants to get a wild card to make the playoffs is the actual market. Giants to make the playoffs. And then, of course, if you have that bet, and again, substitute Giants with whomever you think might get in there in the National League. Maybe you think the Mets will. In the American League, pick your wild card team. I then did a National League and World Series bet along with that, because if you get into the tournament, anything is possible. And so those are the Giants bets. 27+1 on the NL, 53+1 on the World Series. Playoffs plus 172, which is similar to my Bengals bet, which I made to win the division. Bet the Bengals plus 175 to win the AFC North. That was another futures play I made. And the only other one, by the way, and this one I tip of the cap to Jason Weingarten, I did bet the O'Neill Cruz to win MVP market in the National League. O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has just been destroying the baseball in spring training in terms of the StatCast numbers, in terms of velocity, but also just hitting phenomenally well in general. We've talked about it many times on this show when he debuted with the Pittsburgh Pirates, not as much regularly after that, but while Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds justifiably got all the press last year, let's not sleep on O'Neill Cruz. So I got it 100-1 to win the MVP. Tennis, that's what I really want to get to in terms of first hour, because we've been giving those out in the second hour. Tennis's fifth major at Indian Wells continues. We are now getting folks into the quarterfinals. Iga had no problem advancing to the quarters yesterday against Yulia Putintseva. It was a 6-1, 6-2 rout. One of those matches where when Putintseva finally won a game in the second set, she asked the crowd to give her a standing ovation, and then she was underhand serving. So that's good in terms of our futures play in this. We lost on Alex de Minaur yesterday. He was up a set and a break, and then lost to Sasha Zverev. He didn't really gack it, though. Zverev was just better. So sometimes you just got a tip of the cap, and that was one of those. But we're still up 17 units on the year in tennis on these matches. And today, more than any other day thus far this year, is a three-dog experience, and I'm talking huge dogs. So we wanted to start out the show with this. We'll crescendo from the shortest to the longest dogs. On the men's side, I'm taking Grigor Dimitrov against Daniil Medvedev. This is in a round of 16 match today as folks try to advance to the back half of the quarters now. Dimitrov, Bulgarian player, you may or may not know him if you're a casual tennis fan from advancing deep into the U.S. Open some years ago, but his hard court numbers are spectacular, better, quite frankly, than those of Daniil Medvedev, who enjoys a much faster hard court than what is offered to him at Indian Wells. In fact, he complained hugely about this court last year, saying, what is this, a hard court? This isn't a hard court. Dimitrov is the play at plus 137 today on the men's side. On the ladies' side, your girl, Diane Parry, which you like to say is Diane Perry.
Let's go, Diane. Let's go.
Diane Parry, 2-1 against Maria Sakkari. Parry's numbers are better. And again, this is I take my emotion out of this and I play the numbers. Sakkari, of course, far more well-known player, but Parry has had such a great start to the 2024 season. I think she continues it here. Admittedly, she has not won a match this big in her career. So this would be her biggest win of her career, but I'm taking her at 2-1 today. And then the big one, flyer of all flyers, but I couldn't believe this number when I saw it. We're taking a $4 dog, whoa, Kelly. Emma Navarro, who's a top 25 player in the world, and right now I think the fourth-ranked American, just behind Maddie Keys. She's really the third best, quite frankly, right now. Emma Navarro, plus 409 against the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Listen, should Sabalenka be favored? Of course she should be. Should Navarro be a $4 dog? Not even close, which, as you know, served us well with Katie Valinets. Playing it that way a couple times already in this tournament. Navarro is feisty. She is a competitor. Plus 409, we're live. Those are your three tennis plays of the day at Indian Wells. That's tennis's de facto fifth major. Kelly will have golf's de facto fifth major plays today, the Players' Championship, the PGA Tour's major, if you will.
That's right. That's right. We would call this tennis's de facto fifth major, not Miami. They don't get crammed together?
They do get crammed together as the Sunshine Double.
Okay.
Indian Wells is bigger, yeah.
Gotcha.
Purse is bigger. And then the Players' Championship, the reason it's the de facto fifth major of golf is because the purse is so big.
That's right.
And the field follows suit. We'll do those later?
Yeah.
Do those later.
Yep.
NBA from last night. We'll get to college basketball, which, again, Will Hill will have tons of plays for us, or I hope he'll have tons of plays for us. Five more auto bids yesterday. The Coastal Charleston got by Stony Brook in overtime. Oakland just squeaked by 22-1 Milwaukee in the Horizon, 22-1 pre-flop in that tournament, so we could have had a long shot hit there. South Dakota State gets it done in the Summit. St. Mary's beats Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference Championship. And Wagner Kelly beats Merrimack in the Northeast. Wagner came into this tournament 12-15. They leave it 15-15. They're going to the dance. Well, at least they're going to the play-in games next week,
awesome.
Probably, you know, most likely. But this is what we love about March. NBA, you said something off air, and then you walked it back because you didn't, maybe you overreacted, but you were saying how you think Jokic is going to, yes. You think Jokic is going to win MVP now. And the Thunder are still tied for first in the West with Denver. I get it. They lost last night. Shea still had his 48th out of 64 games where he's had 30 or more. That's 3 out of 4. I'll do the math for you. 3 out of every 4 games he scores 30 or more. You still think that if Oklahoma City gets the number one seed, he's totally winning it, right?
I think Shea is still alive. I think this is down to a two-man race. race.
Oh, you think everybody else is
dead? I think. Okay. I think as every game that seemingly passes, it's looking more and more like it's Jokic. It's always resetted at the All-Star break. And we talked about it so much around there where I thought there was four guys really live in this, but Jokic has just not let up out of the All-Star
break. He's amazing.
He's incredible. It has been game in, game out. You've even had Luka and the Mavs kind of admittedly talking about stat chasing for him, but he's been incredible. But it was always, okay, well, Mavs got to win some games and get up there in the Western Conference. Okay, they've really not. They're right back there in the play-in tournament. I don't think he's going to really be taken seriously, and we're running out of runway here for the season for them to really make up time. So I really think his case is hurting. This Bucks team, Giannis is playing great, but they're really not making those vast strides that I think they would need to do for him to be seriously considered. So those two are probably out of it. And you know, I just hate to say it, but SGA when you're putting up the triple double numbers like Jokic is night in and night out, it asks SGA to do so much to stay up there with him. I'm worried, Gil.
I understand.
But it's not. I don't think it's over, man. I think I saw Westgate yesterday posted a yes no on this market with Jokic at -400 in the no place, like
the
3
board.
To 1. Yeah.
Other thing last night, while Karl-Anthony Towns was getting his surgery on his meniscus, Timberwolves beat the Clippers. Kawhi gets hurt, leaves the building.
That was bizarre. If anybody was watching, it was scary for a moment because you didn't know what was going on with him.
And then James Harden mentions shoulder pain after the game.
Yeah, so Clippers fans, sorry. Hopefully this is not turning into the same old story. Back spasms for Kawhi, so not a knee, which I guess is good.
Which is good. Speaking of Clippers fans, which is why I threw it in at the end there, the natural transition to Jonathan Huntobel, his thoughts on that, and his college basketball plays, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Ready for the ultimate slam dunk? Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer. Get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This coming Sunday, rather. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets, betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now and get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN. .com/guide. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Wouldn't it's recommended.
Like to, wouldn't you like to B21, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I mentally still am, so that's a problem.
Oh,
in life.
Totally. My internal dialogue is the same today as it was at age 7.
Oh, yeah. Was I texting you yesterday or the day before when we had to do the compliance stuff?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a 9-year-old. Like, I sit there and I get 3 minutes into it and I'm like, I'm so bored. Like, we have to do the, you know, financial and government compliance stuff because it was work for DraftKings. I make it through 3 minutes of it. I'm so bored. I practice putting for like 10 minutes on my carpet. I'm like organizing basketball cards randomly on my desk.
Why don't we just have segments where you complain while the guest waits patiently? Jonathan Huntobel joins us. He's our senior NBA analyst. And, of course, he goes beyond the NBA. We don't want to pigeonhole the man. Just because you're a senior NBA analyst doesn't mean you only know the NBA.
You serious?
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and, of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. What's happening?
Not much, man. Just staring at that double chili mania machine. It's ready to go. It's ready to pay.
Anybody ever sit at that machine?
I've never seen a single person sit at that one. It's my favorite titled one out there.
I think you're the first. I have been asked to be a vice presidential candidate on an independent ticket. I just want to let you know that I'll still do the show while that's happening, just like Aaron Rodgers will still play football.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Just want to start out the show with that. We have a packed show, JVT on the NBA coming up, and some college basketball thoughts. Will Hill, all his college basketball thoughts. Jason Weingarten, our official numbers game Royals correspondent, with his thoughts on Kate Middleton and beyond. We're looking forward to that.
I can't wait for that because I have no – I'm that person who's seen like 3 tweets on this story and not like clicked on anything and looked at anything.
Paddy Power, Ladbrokes, not booking anything quite yet on this. They're big on, is she pregnant? Is she not? Will it be boy or girl? will they ride to the wedding in a carriage or not? Like a whole, they book a lot of this stuff. It's so far considered gauche to book anything on this.
There is always royal wedding or royal family props out there. Yep.
And Alex Kane will join us from Sportrade. Every once in a while, we talk exchanges here on the show. Had the boys on from Profit Exchange many times. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sportrade, will join us again. If you're not familiar with exchanges, just a little primer on what they are for those who are uninitiated. Certainly for those in New Jersey, it is a very relevant topic. So we will whet your appetite. I went flatter on you there. Whet your appetite for that a little later on. First, you know, we haven't been doing this in the first segment, and it occurred to you, I think, correctly, more than it did to me. It's like the DK Network doesn't get some of the picks in the first hour, because we're only on the first hour on DK, and then we go to Lebatard on DK while we continue on VSiN. So I wanted to give some tennis picks, also my futures baseball plays that I made. First of all, baseball, just to let you know, I made San Francisco Giants bets. I know, homeration. I get it. I made three bets on the Giants, none of which were division bets, because even I know that over a 162-game schedule, they ain't beating the Dodgers. But the bet is this, and by the way, substitute Giants, whoever your team is that you think can sneak into a postseason, because remember the incongruence of a baseball season, 162 games versus then a best of three or a best of five, depending on if you're the first or second best winning division team, you'll get the best of five. But if you're the third, you have to be subjected to a best of three. You get the idea. It's the cruelest of all sports when you think of the juxtaposition between the regular season and the playoffs. So someone's got to be wild cards in the National League. And I think the Giants, well, I just think they're smarter than everybody else. I made this right after the Matt Chapman signing. I thought Blake Snell might end up there. Probably not. Probably going to end up in pinstripes. But I got the Giants to get a wild card to make the playoffs is the actual market. Giants to make the playoffs. And then, of course, if you have that bet, and again, substitute Giants with whomever you think might get in there in the National League. Maybe you think the Mets will. In the American League, pick your wild card team. I then did a National League and World Series bet along with that, because if you get into the tournament, anything is possible. And so those are the Giants bets. 27+1 on the NL, 53+1 on the World Series. Playoffs +172, which is similar to my Bengals bet, which I made to win the division. Bet the Bengals +175 to win the AFC North. That was another futures play I made. And the only other one, by the way, and this one I tip of the cap to Jason Weingarten, I did bet the O'Neill Cruz to win MVP market in the National League. O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has just been destroying the baseball in spring training in terms of the StatCast numbers, in terms of velocity, but also just hitting phenomenally well in general. We've talked about it many times on this show when he debuted with the Pittsburgh Pirates, not as much regularly after that, but while Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds justifiably got all the press last year, let's not sleep on O'Neill Cruz, who I got at 100-1 to win the MVP. Tennis, that's what I really want to get to in terms of first hour, because we've been giving those out in the second hour. Tennis's fifth major at Indian Wells continues. We are now getting folks into the quarterfinals. Iga had no problem advancing to the quarters yesterday against Yulia Putintseva. It was a 6-1, 6-2 rout. One of those matches where when Putintseva finally won a game in the second set, she asked the crowd to give her a standing ovation, and then she was underhand serving. So that's good in terms of our futures play in this. We lost on Alex de Minaur yesterday. He was up a set and a break, and then lost to Sasha Zverev. He didn't really gack it, though. Zverev was just better. So sometimes you just got a tip of the cap, and that was one of those. But we're still up 17 units on the year in tennis on these matches. And today, more than any other day thus far this year, is a three-dog experience, and I'm talking huge dogs. So we wanted to start out the show with this. We'll crescendo from the shortest to the longest dogs. On the men's side, I'm taking Grigor Dimitrov against Daniil Medvedev. This is in a round of 16 match today, as folks try to advance to the back half of the quarters now. Dimitrov, Bulgarian player, you may or may not know him if you're a casual tennis fan, from advancing deep into the U.S. Open some years ago. But his hardcore numbers are spectacular, better, quite frankly, than those of Daniil Medvedev, who enjoys a much faster hard court than what is offered to him at Indian Wells. In fact, he complained hugely about this court last year, saying, what is this, a hard court? This isn't a hard court. Dimitrov is the play at plus 137 today on the men's side. On the ladies' side, your girl, Diane Parry, which you like to say is Diane Perry.
Let's go, Diane. Let's go.
Diane Parry, 2-1 against Maria Sakkari. Parry's numbers are better. And again, this is I take my emotion out of this and I play the numbers. Sakkari, of course, far more well-known player, but Parry has had such a great start to the 2024 season. I think she continues it here. Admittedly, she has not won a match this big in her career. So this would be her biggest win of her career, but I'm taking her at 2-1 today. And then the big one, flyer of all flyers, but I couldn't believe this number when I saw it. We're taking a $4 dog,
whoa,
Kelly. Emma Navarro, who's a top 25 player in the world, and right now I think the fourth-ranked American, just behind Maddie Keys. She's really the third best, quite frankly, right now. Emma Navarro, plus 409 against the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Listen, should Sabalenka be favored? Of course she should be. Should Navarro be a $4 dog? Not even close, which, as you know, served us well with Katie Valinets. Playing it that way a couple times already in this tournament. Navarro is feisty. She is a competitor. Plus 409, we're live. Those are your three tennis plays of the day at Indian Wells. That's tennis's de facto fifth major. Kelly will have golf's de facto fifth major plays today, the Players' Championship, the PGA Tour's major, if you will.
That's right. That's right. We would call this tennis's de facto fifth major, not Miami. They don't get crammed together?
They do get crammed together as the Sunshine Double.
Okay.
But
Indian
Wells is bigger, yeah.
Gotcha.
Purse is
gotcha.
Bigger. And then the Players' Championship, the reason it's the de facto fifth major of golf is because the purse is so big.
That's
and the
right.
field follows suit. We'll do those later?
Yeah.
We'll do those later.
Yep.
NBA from last night. We'll get to college basketball, which, again, Will Hill will have tons of plays for us, or I hope he'll have tons of plays for us. Five more auto bids yesterday. The Coastal Charleston got by Stony Brook in overtime. Oakland just squeaked by 22-1 Milwaukee in the Horizon, 22-1 preflop in that tournament, so we could have had a long shot hit there. South Dakota State gets it done in the Summit. St. Mary's beats Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference Championship. And Wagner Kelly beats Merrimack in the Northeast. Wagner came into this tournament 12-15. They leave it 15-15. They're going to the dance. Well, at least they're going to the play-in games next week,
awesome.
Probably. You know, most likely. But this is what we love about March. NBA, you said something off air, and then you walked it back because you didn't. Maybe you overreacted, but you were saying how you think Jokic is going to. Excuse me. Yes. You think Nikola Jokic, pardon me, I was Djokovic
yeah.
and Jokic. You think Jokic is going to win MVP now. And the Thunder are still tied for first in the West with Denver. I get it, they lost last night. Shea still had his 48th out of 64 games where he's had 30 or more. That's 3 out of 4. I'll do the math for you. 3 out of every 4 games he scores 30 or more. You still think that if Oklahoma City gets the number one seed, he's totally winning it, right?
I think Shea is still alive. I think this is down to a two-man race.
Oh, you think everybody else is
dead?
Yeah,
I think. Okay. I think as every game that seemingly passes, it's looking more and more like it's Jokic. I just want to it's always reset it at the All-Star break. And we talked about it so much around there where I thought there was four guys really live in this, but Jokic has just not let up out of the All-Star
break. He's amazing.
Break, he's incredible. It has been game in, game out. You've even had Luka and the Mavs kind of admittedly talking about stat chasing for him, but he's been incredible. But it was always, okay, well, Mavs got to win some games and get up there in the Western Conference. Okay, they've really not. They're right back there in the play-in tournament. I don't think he's going to really be taken seriously, and we're running out of runway here for the season for them to really make up time. So I really think his case is hurting. This Bucks team, Giannis is playing great, but they're really not making those vast strides that I think they would need to do for him to be seriously considered. So those two are probably out of it. And you know, I just hate to say it, but SGA with the when you're putting up the triple double numbers like Jokic is night in and night out, it asks SGA to do so much to stay up there with him. I'm worried, Gil. I'm a little worried,
I understand.
But it's not. I don't think it's over. Man, I think I saw Westgate yesterday posted a yes-no on this market with Jokic at minus 400 in the no place, like 3-1. Yeah.
Other thing last night, while Karl-Anthony Towns was getting his surgery on his meniscus, Timberwolves beat the Clippers. Kawhi gets hurt, leaves the building.
That was bizarre. If anybody was watching, it was scary for a moment because you didn't know what was going on with him.
And then James Harden mentions shoulder pain after the game.
Yeah, so Clippers fans, sorry. Hopefully this is not turning into the same old story. Back spasms for Kawhi, so not a knee, which I guess is good.
Which is good. Speaking of Clippers fans, which is why I threw it in at the end there, the natural transition to Jonathan Antoble, his thoughts on that, and his college basketball plays, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Get ready for the ultimate slam dunk. Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer. Get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This coming Sunday, rather. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets, betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now and get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN. .com/guide. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
It's recommended.
Wouldn't you like that B21, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I mentally still am, so that's a problem.
Oh, totally. My internal dialogue is the same today as it was at age 7.
Oh, yeah. Was I texting you yesterday or the day before when we had to do the compliance stuff?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a 9-year-old. Like, I sit there and I get 3 minutes into it and I'm like, I'm so bored. Like, we have to do the, you know, financial and government compliance stuff because it was work for DraftKings. I make it through 3 minutes of it. I'm so bored. I'm practice putting for like 10 minutes on my carpet. I'm like organizing basketball cards randomly on my desk.
Why don't we just have segments where you complain while the guest waits patiently? Jonathan Antoble joins us. He's our senior NBA analyst. And, of course, he goes beyond the NBA. We don't want to pigeonhole the man. Just because you're a senior NBA analyst doesn't mean you only know the NBA. He comes to us from the courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, JVT? Do you feel pigeonholed with that title sometimes?
I mean, I guess a little bit. I do think that's why I put in my Twitter bio, enjoys other sports. Because I do watch and enjoy other things. I have gotten a lot of on social media, which is such a positive place. It's kind of surprising to get it every once in a while.
Stick to
basketball, which is quite fun every once in a while. So it's been I think that has been a label that has put me in an unfair position, but I have fought through.
You have fought through. The struggle is real. Good for you. Before we do anything else, we're just talking about the Clippers as we went to commercial. And around these parts, you're kind of known as Mr. Clipper. It took all the way to March 12th before disaster may have struck. Where are you on the scale of not worried at all to, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening again with the Clippers?
Kind of worried. We were actually in our group chat yesterday, RIP Harvard Handicappers. Zach Cohen had mentioned that, you know, and this is the important part. It wasn't a lower body injury for Kawhi, right? It wasn't a knee or a quad or anything like that. And that's, I think, the important part. Back spasms are something you can work through. Now, if he had left the arena and there was the knee again, then I think that's probably something where you're a little bit worried. But this is something that I think that you're going to feel kind of worried because the gap between them and the very quietly red hot New Orleans Pelicans is only going to shrink by the moment if the Pelicans continue to win. And you don't really want them to fall out of that 4 spot and have home court advantage in a playoff series. So I think that's where you kind of ramp up the worry a bit. But I'd say I'm not too bad. And I'd also say the other like ramification of that yesterday, Gil, something that irritated me, and I didn't even bet on the game. You know, it's funny, he goes out with the back spasms, and then it's reported that he's been dealing with them for a couple of days. The guy was listed with groin soreness on the injury report. What are we doing here? So like we continue to do this nonsense. Let's get some accuracy here.
Yeah, by the way, Clippers lose to the T-Wolves last night 118-100. Meanwhile, as we said, Cat was getting his meniscus fixed. T-Wolves one half game behind the Thunder and Nuggets in the Western Conference with the Clip Show, 3 games behind the T-Wolves in the 4th spot. They have a 2-game edge over the Pelicans for that number 4 position. Anything in the NBA tonight from you, sir?
Yeah, I got three that I've played so far. So we'll go with Toronto and Detroit first. So the number's up to this number's up to 3.5. I think this is playable up to 4.5, and there's a couple of threes out there as well. Look, the injuries are an issue for Toronto at this point right now, Gil. You're talking about Chris Boucher, Jakob Poeltl, Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett, all considered out today. Emmanuel Quickley, Gary Trent Jr. are questionable. But the injuries in the front court are the ones that I think I'm focusing on here. Detroit, over the last 26 games, which, by the way, they're 18-8 against the spread, very good rebounding team. Over these 26 games, 13th in defensive rebounding, 6th best offensive rebounding rate. They've been very, very good on that end. They generate the 6th most putback points per 100 missed shot attempts. They're going to be able to generate 6 second chance opportunities. I think attack Toronto on a glass against this really weak front court, get a win in the cover. And as I mentioned, they've covered 18 in the last 26, been playing very well. And Cade Cunningham quietly against a very weak perimeter defense over his last 18 games himself, 21.8 points, 8.1 assists, 46.5% shooting from the floor. I think the Pistons are in a pretty good spot here. I bet them a little regularly, not as much as I should over the course of these 26 games, but at home against Toronto, think it's worth betting. The other, I'm going to push back on the market a little in these next two. Brooklyn and Orlando. Brooklyn's finally healthy. Cam Johnson's expected to come back today. Cam Thomas returned 2 games ago. By the way, in the 2 games, dropped 60 points with relative ease because Cam Thomas is incredible. And you're getting 2 days of rest. And I kind of played the number game here a little bit, which is interesting. Fitting for the show. These two teams met 2 weeks ago, and the Magic closed to 6.5-point favorites. And yet, no Cam Thomas in that game. And it was the 3rd game in 4 nights on no rest for Brooklyn. Super negative spot. And here we are a half point higher in the same situation, except it's 2 days of rest and a healthier Brooklyn team. So I'll push back on the market again. That's up to 7. Took 7. Think that's playable down to about 6. And then I call these plays on principle. You know, sometimes they don't work, but I'm ready for them not to work. Negative scheduling spot be damned. The Sacramento Kings are 6-1 straight up and against the spread over the last 2 seasons against the Los Angeles Lakers. They went to LA just a week ago today. And as 2.5-point underdogs, which again would indicate that these two teams are equals on a neutral, and they won that game 130-120 after going down 19, absolutely boat raced the Lakers. This is a matchup that's worked for Sacramento, and yet here we are in Sactown, Lakers laying 2. I get it again, second leg of a back-to-back, 5th game in 8 nights for the Kings, but again, this is a play on principle. This Kings team, at the very least, is an equal in a power rating standpoint with the Los Angeles Lakers, and I think that's the very least. I'll take a money line price of plus 120 or better here on the Sacramento Kings. So those are the 3. Nets plus 7, Kings money line, and Pistons minus 3.
I like it. Very thorough. By the way, I'm just going to vomit out this thought stream of consciousness back to Kawhi for a second. I think it's the fact that when he was in San Antonio, we never got to find out what his injury was, and he had his own people, and he was dealing with that. And last night, he's like, "I'm just going to leave the arena."
It's like it was very bizarre on the broadcast, watching it and trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
They kind of made excuses for it where it's like, hey, he's uncomfortable sitting on the bench, so he'd rather kind of like get out and like whatever. But
yeah,
it's a weird dynamic nonetheless. And by the way, because I get a lot of flack and I totally enjoy it because I love crap talking to anybody on social media in the spirit of fun, because that's what sports are supposed to be. You know, a lot of people were jumping to that conclusion and kind of tap dancing on the grave and whatnot. Like, I totally understand anybody who up to this point has still been like, don't believe they're going to be injured. And I totally understand it. But Kawhi has only missed about 8 games this year. And that's why, going back to your original point, where I'm not too worried about it, he has shown some pretty solid consistency in terms of availability this year.
All right, let's go to college ball. You love yourself some Mountain West. You're steeped in it. San Diego State is the short shot to win the Mountain West tournament. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, despite being the 5 seed, San Diego State plus 260. Look, I think that there is a team that has been playing some of the best basketball in the conference that has quietly flown under the radar. Bartorvik's got them as a top 20 team by their power ratings over the last 10 games. They reside here in this state, and it's not UNLV. Guys, Nevada has been incredible here over the last month. They have been awesome. They started conference play 2-3. They ended up 13-5. They've been playing some incredible basketball, as I mentioned, over the last month. Top 20 metric by Bartorvik, and they just got a good team. Like, you're talking about Keenan Blackshear and Gerard Lucas, 2 big body guys along that perimeter, depth at center, a good head coach. And I think even though you have 3 potential tournament teams there with you on that side of the bracket, New Mexico has slipped, Colorado State has slipped, Boise State is a matchup that I think you have success against here. So given the fact that you're on the other side, you don't have to play as potential San Diego State or Utah State until a championship matchup, I think that Nevada at 5-1 or better is very much worth it. I think this Wolfpack team has been quietly dominating the Mountain West for about a month now, and it's really flown under the radar. We're going to see that play out. And by the way, just a little sprinkle on top of the cake. This is a team that I think is going to be pretty hungry. Last year, they went to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We're 1-0 against San Jose State. I think this team is going to be ready to go here this time around. 5-1, I think it's worth it for Nevada.
All right, Mountain West starts today along with the American, the Big East, pardon me, the Big Ten, the Big West, the MEAC, the Pac-12, and the SEC Swack and Whack. What a day of college basketball as everything gets underway. Oh, that's not true. Two conferences we'll have yet to. One is the Ivy later this week. The other is the MAC. You have some thoughts on the MAC.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of things. First off, you know, I like analytics a lot as much as the next guy. Sometimes it does make us a little bit stubborn in our evaluation of these teams. Gil, I can't for the life of me figure out why Kent State's only 6-1 to win this thing as the 8 seed. There's been no statistical return that has told you that this team is worthy of that power rating. So I think that this market's a little bit mispriced. So where do you find it? I landed on Ohio, guys. Like, Ohio is playing some pretty good basketball. Again, going over the last month by Bartorvik Metrics, the highest rated MAC team at this point right now. You've got good backcourt play. Sharif Mitchell is back there along with his running mate Jalen Hunter. They play at a slow pace and they shoot the three really well, 36.8% to about 66 possessions per game. Those are qualities, good backcourt play, slow pace, good shooting, that in a neutral site tournament like this, I think is conducive to success here. So give me Ohio, the Bobcats, at about plus 330 to win this thing in the MAC. I think they're going to be really live.
Yeah, plus 330 at DraftKings. Akron, the short shot to win the MAC tournament. I think Jim Root had Ohio as well when we had him on yesterday, talking MAC as well. So simpatico.
Couple MAC picks, but that was that was kind of his whole point too. He thought it was a little mispriced in the markets.
Yeah, Kent State, the aforementioned Kent State team, 6-1 in that market. JVT, thank you as always, man.
Good to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me as always.
The great Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, our senior NBA analyst. But as he says, enjoys other sports, knows other sports as well.
He's in primetime, too.
Yes, a decent primetime co-host, of course, with Tim Murray. I buried the headline, for God's sakes. Weekdays here at the network. We'll come back. Will Hill, all his college basketball thoughts, maybe some baseball, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? It's your problem. Create a free account today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Week. That's this week, Championship Tournament Week, leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, and, of course, our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Who doesn't love a primer? Don't miss out on the VSiN Pro Free Preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/Champ Week. Get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's VSiN.com/Champ Week. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trust the glove. It seems in sports all the management teams are called Super Bowl winning GMs, etc. I manage the construction of an airport, some big city high rises, and such before I testified as an expert. However, I have never said I built those structures. I touched no hammer. A little macro thought from Trust the Glove there on how we describe GMs who construct a Super Bowl team.
Oh, okay.
I had to provide a manual for the tweet.
Yes,
Jason H11. Sorry about that. I have a new segment for ANG. Kelly plays the. This talks about what we were talking about earlier. Kelly plays the slots. Every Friday, Kelly puts $100 into that machine and tries his luck. Yeah, maybe we'll throw that in.
Double Chili Mania.
Mm-hmm. Mile High David. Exchange Sports Trade, also available in Colorado, not just New Jersey. Mm. Coming up, Alex Kane, their CEO. Todd Bubba Horwitz. If you became VP, Gil, we can use your tennis picks to wipe out the national debt. Thanks for the picks. You're welcome. Tommy Lorenzo. Baseball talk. You mentioned Padres as a over their win total candidate, and I agree. Their manager, Mike Schilt, is 16-1 for Manager of the Year, an award he's won before. Good number. Yeah, Bob Melvin to Mike Schilt, and if they do well, he would get consideration. Got to be a playoff team, though, that's for sure. But 16-1 ain't bad. Roger Jones, love it, guys. Never thought the show would start out with a little three-dog night, our three-dog tennis plays, in case you missed it. Hump Day Hockey said he got Navarro at plus 425. Brandon Webb, not the former ball player. Victor Scott tied for the minor league lead in steals last season, currently batting 370, plus with 900 OPS this spring, might make the club in St. Louis. For all of those who might be interested in Rookie of the Year markets. And Jamie Leva, in my David Caruso CSI Miami voice. Well, Gil, you could say it's a three-dog night. Cue up Won't get fooled again by the Who. Do you remember how ridiculous those beginnings of CSI Miami would be with him? Caruso. Oh, and finally, the numbers, guys. How many best weeks of the year are we going to have this year? This one's got to be a contender. Absolutely. I used to, you know, when people ask, what's your favorite sports betting time of the year? And I always used to say October. You know, football, college and pro on the weekends, baseball postseason in the midweek. But this is kind of tough to beat. College conference basketball tournaments leading into March Madness. You got Indian Wells. You got spring training. You got the TPC. It's awesome.
Still January for me, but I get it.
Football playoffs, NFL playoffs.
Yeah, football playoffs. It's always my best NBA betting time.
Oh, okay.
When nobody else is paying attention, you know. Golf gets started.
I'm going to say Will Hill says now. Will Hill joins us, everybody, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, where I believe he has 25 episodes a week these days. He's also available on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Will, this is your favorite time of year, isn't it?
It is. It's close. I like what you said about October when you get a Saturday with college football, Sunday with NFL, all the baseball pennant races, you know, when baseball's dumb enough to put their final day of the season on that Sunday. But to me, it's too much. It's too overwhelming. You can't enjoy all of it. It's just it's sensory overload. October, March, there's not a ton going on other than college basketball, so you can hone in and really just take it all in and enjoy it. So October's great. I mean, it's always a fun debate, but I think March, just because it's isolated enough where you can really enjoy it. There's not too much where it's overload like it is with October.
All right, let us do this two ways. We'll talk about individual games. We'll talk about tournaments. Let's just talk about games today in college basketball, where, again, I mentioned five auto bids were secured yesterday, including the Wagner Seahawks, 20-1 shots in the Northeast, 500 record. They'll be in a play-in game. But Coastal Horizon League, West Coast, Summit, those were all determined yesterday. We'll have three more today in terms of auto bids, conference play, and of course conference tournaments that we just mentioned earlier are going to start today. Let's start with games today. Anything in the three tournaments that are to be decided, or anything beyond that?
Yeah, I have plays in two of them, although when you're reading tweets, I saw one of my picks, Colgate, went from 7 to 8.5. I've told you for years you need to do this show a little earlier.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Colgate's playing Lehigh. I would lay it before I took it. This is just a mismatch. Lehigh might be missing one of their bigs. Lehigh's one of the smallest teams in the country, and they can't shoot threes at all. They're one of the worst shooting three teams. I think they shoot 31, 32% from three. So it's interesting. The Patriot is one of these conferences. They don't really reward their best team with all these days off. They let the teams that are lower down catch up. But Colgate does get to play this game at home. So I do think Colgate wins this game by double digits. Another title game, Montana versus Montana State. Montana State's going to be completely outmatched, I think. Montana, again, a huge size advantage. These teams played twice in the regular season. Montana buried them both times, won by a combined 30 points. Montana averaged over 1.3 points per possession in the two games. Just Montana had no answers, especially at the rim. So I think what Montana did was sustainable on offense. So I like Montana laying the points. I like Colgate laying the points in the in those two title games.
All right. Southland Championship is the other title game. McNeese and Nicholls State going to play in that one. No play from Will in that one, which is an afternoon game as well between Nicholls and McNeese State. Pardon me. Got those the other way around. Okay. Of the tournaments that have begun and that are midstream, any plays in any individual games?
Individual games, under 65.5, Texas, Kansas State. These teams played a month or so ago. I actually watched some of this game. It was awful. It might be one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen in my life. And it felt sustainable in terms of like both defenses just dominated. Neither team could get anything going on offense. I think Texas shot like 14% from three. Kansas shot 20% from three. Both teams shot 35% from the floor. It was 62-56. So you're looking at a full game total of under 142.5, a first half total of 65.5. I don't play full game unders. I can't live with the overtimes. I'll play them live, but I don't play them pre-flop. I can't deal with the fouls, the overtime. It's too heartbreaking when you lose them. So I did play under 65.5 first half. And the game that's about to start, wow, less than an hour. How great is this? We have a game in less than
so
an hour.
Good.
George Mason and St. Joseph's. Look, I'm a sucker for these really early tip-off times. I like playing the first half under. The gyms are half empty. The players are half asleep. You do get some intensity defensively because it's an elimination game. And they're playing in the Barclays Center. So that's a big NBA-type arena. Neither of these teams have played yet in this tournament. So there's probably some unfamiliarity with the shooting backdrop, things like that. So Again, shop around. There's, I saw 64.5 out there for the first half total. This is, again, this is 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. I just think if you really can't go wrong if you play these really early tips to the under the first half. Davidson yesterday was a good example. Davidson Fordham, when you look up at like that first TV timeout and it's like 6-2, things like that, where you just, there's a little bit of a process where these teams have to get acclimated to it. So that's another under I like.
What did you, and this is not an early angle, early game angle, but what did you make of all the like championship games getting steamed to the under yesterday? Anything?
I think that's just our boy Fezzik with his text messages and his bets is giving those out. I think, were him and Wishnev on the Stony Brook where they beat the line by 10 points and lost?
And lost. That's right.
Absolutely brutal. And the whole time you're sitting there when you have an under, you're like, how is this game going to go to overtime? How can I avoid it? And it just, you know, it's headed. It's just like you're headed for a collision. You can't avoid it. It's so brutal. But yeah, I understand it. I mean, you're looking at max intensity on defense. Teams are a little more careful, more methodical on offense. So playing the under, I think, is rarely wrong.
I'm sure noticing these first half unders that Will's talking about getting some steam here this morning.
Yeah.
Just pulled those up.
12 tournaments yet to start. 10 will begin today. I just throw them out to you. American, Big East, Big Ten, Big West, MEAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, SEC, SWAC and WAC today. What do you like? Let's pick one at the top. What do you like best?
I think he had Mike Somich on Monday, and he liked Florida at 20-1 at DraftKings. Again, maybe you're better off with the manufactured parlay rollover, whatever, but I'm going to echo everything he said. Good guard play. They can hang with the better teams. They beat Kentucky in Kentucky, which is not easy to do. They swept Bama. They killed Bama in Florida, and they won in Bama, which, again, Bama's been really good at home, so that's an impressive win. And they killed Auburn. Now, they've had some of these puzzling losses. They lost to South Carolina. They lost to Vandy somehow by a point, but I do think there's the upside where I think they played Missouri their first game. So they have a path here where they can at least get to a title game. And again, if you're sitting there at 20-1 and you're in a title game, you're in good shape. So Florida is one I like. I'll go off the radar. Fairfield, a team I've seen in person several times. They play fast. They press. They shoot a bunch of threes. Their guards are really good. They've got two or three guys that shoot over 40% from three. They are 3-1 to win this tournament. They have a nice setup with their bracket too. Now, Iona's not a really easy game. Today, where they're like 3.5-point favorite, but the other side of the bracket, I just think is a little better with the Quinnipiac, St. Peter's, Riders of the world, where Fairfield's in good shape to get to a title game. So Fairfield at 3-1, I like too. Fairfield.
Several times?
Several times, yeah.
Several times.
What? He's been to what?
Fairfield.
Oh, Will Hill is a great supporter of both the men's and women's basketball teams.
The girls are good too. The girls play today too. Girls have won like 27 in a row.
Yeah. Do you want to break down that team at all for us before we go to break? Or?
Next week. Full breakdown.
Next week, full breakdown on that team. Fairfield, big supporter of Fairfield. More college basketball thoughts from Will. And baseball. The man's always making baseball plays, baseball thoughts. Oh, is he worried about Garrett Cole? Is this happening already? Will Hill on the other side. Continuing. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.